We thirst for you. We search for you. In a dry and barren land, we're longing for your hand to guide us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. We thirst for you. We search for you. In a dry and barren land, we're longing for your hand to guide us through a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again in thirst for you.
Church, good morning to you all. You can be seated this morning. If you're a guest of ours, it's so wonderful to have you visiting with us. I see some old faces. I think I see Scott Fuller back there. Grandpa Scott. We grew up together here at Calvary. They live up in International Falls, Minnesota area. So great to have them here. Of course, Sister Vicki Vernon had a birthday yesterday, and she turned 60 years old. Can you believe that? I called her my big sister, because she's older than I am, and she's like, please don't call me your big sister. She's my bigger, older sister. Happy birthday, sis. I see those daggers. It's going to be a few months before you get back up here, so hopefully you'll have forgotten by then. Oh, we've been talking about just a little short, I don't know if it's really a Bible study or if it's just much as it is just reminders. We talked on last Wednesday evening, we talked about the cost of delay. When it comes to spiritual maintenance, we all have things that we have to maintain in our lives. We're all here today because we have a vehicle that got us here. And that vehicle probably has had maintenance, or you've had to do maintenance on that vehicle. And Ron and Joy, I didn't even look down the whole rest of the aisle. Yours. Oh, good to see you all this morning. But we all have maintenance. We all are here because of vehicles that are maintained. We're here because of a building that has been maintained. And we were reading in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 out of the International Standard Version, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. I mentioned and we talked a little bit about some of the things that around our homes that we have to maintain. And over the past month, just last night, I sat out there and was in my garage, and I had to put I have a winch on my snow plow that it's just one of those, what do they call them, UTV side-by-side things that you ride in, and the winch lifts, raises, and lowers the snowplow. And every year I break the cable. I broke it, I don't know how many times last year, and I told my wife, I think I've come up with a way this year I'm not going to be able to break it, because if I put something in there so strong that the winch can't break it, then... Because part of the problem is you hit the up button and you hold it down too long and it just keeps going up. And you know how, man, you know how that is. You know, you just, more power, you know, more horsepower, more winch power and all this and that. So I got out there and I said, I need to braid a three, I bought a cord that has 2,600 pound strength capacity. And I said, I need to braid that into three. So my wife was out there last night helping me, teaching me how to braid. I've never braided in my life. Some of you ladies are looking at that. So she's out there braiding this cord for me, and she gets it all done, and I feed it into the winch. So now I have about 7,000 pounds or so of pressure I can put on this plow. I'll probably break the machine right in half before I break the cord. But nevertheless, it's a maintenance issue, because I've been out there too many times when it's 20 below zero and the snow is up to your waist and you break your cord or your cable and you got to fix it in the snow. And it's cold and I'm like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to try to get this done before. We had a little bit of a snow the last few days, and north of us, they got a whole lot more snow. And I thought, this is just a good warning that Mother Nature is sending my way that, hey, the next snow, we may get 6 to 10 inches or a foot of snow. So we talk about all these maintenance projects. We have wood that we have to stack, and your garage, some of our garages, we have to leave our cars parked out all winter long because our garage has so much stuff in it that we can't fit our car in our garage. So as a homeowner, I've learned over the years to accept and anticipate that as long as I live in a home, as long as I own a home, as long as I own a vehicle, there's going to have to be some kind of a maintenance program for that home or for that vehicle. It's those everyday annoyances. If it's not the wood pile, it's the leaves that you have to rake, or it's the leaky faucet, or it's the shower drain that leaks, or you sit down on your toilet and it's like a rocking chair sometimes. It just moves side to side, and all of these things that we have to fix and we have to maintain. I was a plumber for a number of years, so if you laugh about the rocky toilets, that's a pet peeve of mine, maintenance issue. I hate it when I go into a restaurant and the toilet just rocks on the floor. It's a maintenance issue. So, spiritually speaking, we also have maintenance issues, don't we? Things that we allow build up in our lives that are just little stuff. It's just a little, I just had a little disagreement with a family member. And that little disagreement, it just, because it wasn't taken care of at Easter, now at July 4th, it grows and it becomes larger, and by Thanksgiving rolls around, you won't sit at the same table, and Christmas is coming, and you're not going to Christmas because you had a little disagreement over the egg salad or something silly and stupid at Easter. But see, this is how it works in our lives, because our humanity, we have a thing. I think we could call it pride, don't we? We have this thing called pride, and we don't want to take and admit sometimes. We don't want to back down. Who wants to back down from an argument with a brother-in-law? You know what I'm saying? Anybody, am I the only one that's been there or has a family that's like that? My son-in-law, I am here to tell you, is the most awesome son-in-law a guy could ever have. I've only got one, and he's sitting out here, so he knows exactly. No. But we have these little family tiffs. And my mother-in-law, she passed away this past year, so I feel free that this is not going to come back to me. But she had a disagreement with a sister decades ago. Decades ago. And nobody knows what it was over. Nobody knows why. But for decades, the families always would go to family reunions, and everybody would sit in their own little clan. And I always wondered, why is this? And I found out years later, well, it's because mother-in-law had a disagreement with her sister, and they don't talk anymore. And you see that a lot. And a lot of times we do that. We have maintenance issues that get between us and God. We talk about communication sometimes, and I've kind of veered off my notes here a little bit, but we talk about communication sometimes, and our communication with God is so critical and so important, but sometimes it's those little maintenance issues that come up that get between us and God, and it begins to cause an issue there, and sometimes bitterness. Have you ever been upset at God for something? You don't want to admit it, but we probably all have at some point in time in our life been upset at God for something. God, why did this happen? Why did this have to happen to me? And so moving on tonight in our list, perhaps, of spiritual maintenance issues, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. This is reading out of the ESV again. To each is given the manifestation or display of the Spirit for the common good. And then James 1:17 in the NIV says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I'm so thankful that I have a God that what he promises me today doesn't change tomorrow. What he said a decade ago still stands firm today. And what he says today and the promises he makes today will still stand firm a decade from now. But here is humanity. A lot of times we go back on our promises. We change. Last Sunday after service, I met with Marvin and Lana and Cole and Ava and my wife Lois. And we all went to Papa Jimmy's in Cottage Grove. And he's got some really... It's just a good pizza place, local pizza place, and he's been there for years, and we love going there. And he has a pizza, and it's called the Gut Buster Pizza. And the name pretty well sums it up, because it's got, like, everything in it. And when you eat it, if you eat too much of it, yeah, you kind of feel like you got a busted gut. And they had breadsticks. You get their large pepperoni. I guess this is a plug-in for Papa Jimmy's here. You get their large pepperoni pizza, and you get like 10 breadsticks, and marinara sauce comes with it for like $20. So we're there, and of course, like most places nowadays, you go in and you sit down, and there's more TVs in the place than there are people. And we're sitting there, and right above us in the big screen is a football game, and it was the Detroit Lions, and they were playing some team up north of here. What would that team be? The purple horn-headed dudes. I know it was the Vikings. I just wanted to see if I'd get a rise out of our two Viking fans in the place. By the way, they didn't do too well. I just want to hand that off to you over there. Yes, right. You're just, I remember having a discussion about this. So we watched the game a little bit, and I began to realize that you know, halftime, the Lions were pretty well pounding the Vikings. And I usually don't make much or talk much about sports over the pulpit. But I got this idea, or looking at this, that it just seemed like the Lions were really, really playing together as a team. As a team should play. It's just like they were like all over the field. And their offensive line and their defensive line and all of the different players. I mean, it was they were playing as a team. And as I began to watch this and realize that, you know, sometimes when we look at a professional sports team, whether it's football, baseball, soccer, basketball, whatever it may be, the church is very much like a team, and we need to operate very much like a team. And there's really not a whole lot of difference than the church and the staff, or God's body, and how God has designed us to work as a body, and our body has to work much as a team has to work. And if you're going to win the game, if you're going to survive through life, we have to take and work together. And it's amazing at times when we look at this and as we play the game, or as we live our lives as a church body or as a team, there are some of us here, excuse me, that they have great strengths. Some of us have great strengths. I look at the decor here this morning, and I love our Christmas decor, and Sister Brittany Waters and Brother Tim Powell, her father. I struggle with this. I have a Christmas tree at home in my office, and it stays up year-round. I cleaned it in the fall of the year just a few weeks ago, when Brother John Rivas, for a gift, bought me one of those little small Ryobi blowers. And I just went up to my Christmas tree and I just blew it off. And it's ready for the new season at hand. You see, I hate setting up Christmas trees and I hate taking them down. I remember one year we were going on vacation and I had a Christmas tree, and I told my wife, I'm not taking all this junk off of here. And I just set it out on the back porch. I just left it all, just there it is. And so my Christmas tree stays up year-round. I don't take it down. I may add an ornament here or there and such. And all of our other Christmas trees in the house, we brought two to church today because we're giving them away. They're nice trees. They're actually real pretty trees. But I just don't like doing that. So when we look at how in the world did I get on Christmas trees? Oh, a team. I just go back to my notes and that would help me. You ever wake up in the morning and you feel like you're on another planet? I woke up this morning feeling like I was somewhere between Mars, Venus, Jupiter. I don't know, but bear with me here. So we each have these gifts, and we each have talents. And I look across a congregation like this, and there's so many gifts, and there's so many talents that are here among us. And each of these gifts that we have, sometimes we think, well, you just inherited this from your father or your mother or your grandparents or whatever. But a lot of the gifts that we have are gifts that we get from God. God gives us certain gifts. I listened to Brother, not to embarrass, but Brother Jeffrey as he worships, and Brother Derek as they sing, and I listened to that and I'm like, man, I wish I could sing like that. But I don't have that gift. And so I enjoy listening to people that are gifted, that love to sing, because I love to hear all different varieties of music and song. And these gifts that we are given, a lot of times, unfortunately, because we're talking about maintenance issues, a lot of times the gifts that God gives to us, these gifts become inactive over a period of time because we don't use them as God designed them and designed us to use. And when we look at these gifts, each of these gifts that God gives to us, sometimes God gives to us multiple gifts. You may not just have one gift. You may have two, three, four, or five different gifts that God has given to you. And we find their fulfillment when these gifts are used for the good of each other. Follow what I'm saying here? So that means if you're here today and you have a number of gifts that God has given to you and you're not using those gifts, then the rest of us are missing out because we're all part of a body. So what God has called you to do may be a blessing to some of us that need that particular aspect, as Brother Jeffrey and some of our singers. I mean, I love to hear that. That is a gift. It enhances the worship. It enhances my ability to be able to worship when I don't have to hear myself sing. I can hear someone else sing. So when I look around this room and I see all kinds of gifts and their fulfillment and what could it could be if it is used for the good of others, and I think back to our last series when I started out our series and I talked about a river versus a swamp. Remember that little segment? Individual gifts of the Spirit that God gives to us are not meant to stay with us and in us and only us. They're meant to be shared with others, and those gifts, they can shape us and they can form us more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we ask, what does it mean to be Christ-like? What does Christ-likeness really look like? Now that perhaps we have forgotten that, or maybe we've never really learned what it means to be Christ-like, but there's a simple reminder here. To be like Christ is to be more and more concerned. It's real simple. Just we need to be more and more concerned with the need of others, as well as the brokenness in the world that we live in. When we become more concerned about how other people are feeling and how they're doing and how they're making it through life than ourselves, because Jesus Christ was really all about giving. And the true growth in the Spirit, when we talk about growing and maturing, we've talked a lot about this past year. The true sign of being able to grow and mature in Christ is how much have I become like Him over the past year. You see, we should always move from the isolated self-interest that we can sometimes get ourselves all wrapped. It's all, we live in a very selfish world, and everything is kind of all about me in our world today, and we need to move from that isolated self-interest to a genuine concern for those that are in need. And sometimes it's easy to forget that we as Christians, we really are here to serve one another and to reach out and to serve our world. It's not just always about us, even though we have needs. And it's not that we're trying to not take care of our needs, but so many times we just come to church and it's about me and it's not about the rest of us. We're just talking about just maintenance issues here. We need the gifts of the Spirit. When we look up and we see one another and discover that these gifts that we have been blessed with should become an invitation for all of us to get involved and to allow these gifts to flow in us and through us. And we can never forget that these gifts that God gives to us as a individual and as a church body are shared gifts. They're not just gifts for me and only me. When God gives something to us, He wants us to share that gift. So we need to encourage those who work alongside of us in ministry to step in and receive what God has for them when we're talking about gifts. Now, gifts can vary. There can be all sorts of different gifts that we have. And I remember this was probably 2 years ago now when Brother and Sister Gail and Thompson were here. And they were speaking to a large number of us in the fellowship hall. And Sister Thompson was relaying to us a dream that God had given to her. And she was talking about the church as a whole, not just this church, but the church as a whole. And in her dream, she had seen that there was a wagon, and it was heavily loaded down with gifts, with little presents of all different sizes and shapes, similar to what you would see under a Christmas tree, but it was in a wagon. And these gifts were offered to anyone who wanted them. They were free gifts offered. And she said that in her dream, she saw that it was all of the women that were coming up and taking the gifts off of the wagon. Some women were taking multiple gifts off of the wagon. And the men were reluctant and hesitant to step forward and to take those gifts. And it was very concerning as she was talking about this, because she was relaying it to, as we have gifts in the Spirit, and it's not just all the gifts I'm talking about as far as gifts of the Spirit this morning, but also gifts of administration and gifts of organization. There's a lot of different things that come into this. And she was talking about all these, and the men were not accepting or stepping forward. And that began to I began to think about that. And this past week, as I was just thinking about some things for this weekend and such, it just like, Lord, there's so many gifts that are out there available to us in your body. And I see a lot of our ladies stepping forward and stepping into, but we don't have a lot of our men stepping up and stepping in to the role that God has called them to step into. I know that today, the age that we live in, it's a difficult time for the men in all different types of ways, politically and everything else, and responsibilities and everything that's happening and such. But I was very pleased when we had our ladies' conference a few weeks ago, and the reports came back of all of the ladies, that some of our younger ladies that were stepping into the gifts of teaching and the gifts of building one another up, and how that all of these things were beginning to take place and are beginning to happen. And this is what God desires from his church, from his body. And we need to encourage one another. We look back at the game analogy, and we are very, very close to the end zone, church. We're very, very close, and as more pressure comes into the world, more pressure comes upon the church, and the more pressure that comes upon the church, the more we need to be like Jesus Christ. Our world is such a messed up world, and we need to be able to take and share what God has given to us, and whatever it may be, whatever some of the talents and the gifts that you have are, you need to be able to take and share those particular gifts with the church body. Some of us are good in mentorship. Some of us may not be good in teaching behind a pulpit or teaching in a classroom, but you're extremely good at teaching one-on-one to each other and to brothers, our younger brothers and our younger sisters. Most of our younger people are in classrooms. Our youth are in classrooms, and I'm dealing with a particular section of Calvary Gospel Church here this morning. But we have gifts and we have abilities that are within us that are here right now, that they're not just the rest of the body, but our city, our workplaces, our neighborhoods all need to experience. Some people may know what all of their talents and gifts are, and other people may not be completely sure of those strong points. And this is where, if God has blessed you with the gift of mentorship and the ability to communicate with each other, comes in. It's very important, communication in the body of Christ. When I look at communication, and this leads into another maintenance point here this morning, and we look at communication, and I found out that most issues that I have in my life are because I'm not communicating well. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, well, Pastor, I'm not really following you this morning. I may not be communicating as well as maybe perhaps I should or could. But our communication with each other is so very, very important. That's how we talk to one another. It is when we communicate with one another is when if we're frustrated with something in our lives or we're aggravated about something or something's not going well or we want someone to do something or we expect someone to do something, it all falls down to the art or the ability to communicate. We have marriage counseling classes here at Calvary Gospel Church, and one of the number one issues with couples that have recently been married and come back in for counseling is they don't know how to properly communicate with one another. Let me just throw this little bit in here that I found out that most disagreements that I have or have had, not just with my wife over the years, but with some of you over the years, is not necessarily when it comes to communication, but what is expected in that communication, the expectations. When I ask you to do something, if I ask Brother Carrie Millen to do something, maybe to just, hey, could you just take these Christmas trees out of here? Christmas season is over, just take them out of here. And I don't give him any specific instructions. I just tell him, get those trees out of here. I may come in here and there must be busted Christmas balls all the way from here to the dumpster. I just told him to get them out of here because I didn't communicate properly. I didn't tell him there's boxes to put all of these bulbs in. All the garland needs to go in. These trees actually come apart. They fit back into this box and they go out into the garage. That's where communication and expectation comes in together. So expectation, most disagreements are not over the process of how we do things, but in our expectations. And as we tidy up a few little maintenance issues here at the end of the year, sometimes husbands and wives and children, we argue more over missed or misread expectations, which often leads because of lack or problems with communication. So remember, when we talk about communication is really, it's a two-way street. And a husband and wife relationship, if you're having problems at work communicating with the boss, sometimes maybe it's just how we communicate. So it's a two-way street. What is Matthew 7:7? It says, tells us to ask, seek, and knock. So, asking. Have you ever asked or sought God for godly wisdom? This is just another little maintenance issue here that we want to cover here at the end of the year. A lot of times we don't have because we don't ask. And we have, God has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us. So we need to understand and we need to realize that we have the Holy Spirit. It's more than just for salvation. And we need to ask and seek godly wisdom from those around us. So as we close out this year and as we enter into next year, I just want to challenge a lot of us. Over the last few years, there have been so many things that have changed in our lives. And a lot of things that have changed is communication, how we communicate with one another. Who would have thought that 2 years ago we would spend so much time on Zoom meetings and all of this kind of stuff? And now here this morning, we're still under a mask mandate. So when I look out across the congregation, I see a lot of half faces where I can just see eyeballs. And it's had to change how we communicate and such. But it's very important that we need to ask. We need to seek godly wisdom from those around us and how we go about all of this going into next year. I just want to encourage us today to if you're struggling with something in your life, just don't be afraid to just say, hey, pastor. We have 5 pastors here at Calvary Gospel Church, 6 pastors. And we're here to help and assist in any way that we can. And if you say, well, you know, pastor, we talked about talents. I don't really know what my ministry abilities are. Feel free to come in and talk at any given time. We're here. That's what we're here for. And I just want to encourage you to do that this morning. And I also want to, as we, I guess we're kind of getting closing out here this morning on this, but I'd like to just take as and read here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So as we tidy up at the end of this year, as we look at some of these year-end spiritual maintenance issues, we talked about the cost of delaying issues, and if I could put some kind of a little subtitle on this morning, it would just be, sometimes if we don't use something, we lose things. We lose it. And just this past week, I had to make a repair on a vacuum cleaner at home because the wheel broke off, and I went opened up a tube of adhesive caulk, and because I didn't use it, how many of you went to get super glue and you're going to use it and it's already hardened in the tube and you never had a chance to even open the tube? Okay? Sometimes we have things that God gives to us and you say, well, God's gifts are without repentance. That's true. But if we don't use them in our lives on a regular basis, then those things become less and less common in our life. And the less we use it, the less we want to use it. And the less we want to use it, the less it gets used. And it just eventually just slowly fades away. And God didn't design us to be that way. So depending on what your gifts are, God encourages us as Christians to be faithful. To be faithful stewards, to be faithful in all areas of our lives. Be faithful in our God-given gifts. And using our talents for God can help us find a purpose to not just to do God's work, but also a purpose to share God's love. And every one of us is different, and we all use these talents and abilities in different ways. How I use what God has given me and how you use what God has given you, we may have the very same talent and ability, but we may use them much differently. So how it comes from me and how it comes from you may be very different. And this is very important that we understand that. So as we stand this morning, I kind of feel like if I can just, I kind of feel like I have just splattered all over the map this morning on this. As many of you know, I have struggled the last few weeks with my blood pressure. My blood pressure is very, very high. And I finally am getting things down to where that it's at a normal level. But with that, how many of you have ever had blood pressures up and down, up and down? It just really messes you up, doesn't it? And I really feel, I'm not making excuses this morning, but I woke up this morning and I literally felt like, Lord, what is wrong in my head? But I hope this is understanding for you this morning, that you're understanding this. But if you're gifted, important, these different talents that God gives to us, it's very important as we move forward that we use what God has given to us. And sometimes we may think that, well, you know, I only have a talent that is maybe cooking. Maybe you love to cook. We have so many people here. This past year, we've just been overwhelmed by meals for our meal trains that we take out to people. So God can use whatever you have, whatever you've been given. And I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus spoke about the talents, the five. I know they were talking about a monetary talent, but it could also bleed into any other area of our lives. So God gives us something. He expects us to use it. He expects us to use it for him. And so look for opportunities. As we close out 2021, it's hard to believe that we're already looking at 2022, but as we close out 2021, God has given us opportunities to serve him. He's given us opportunities to serve one another, and he's given us opportunities to serve our city, to serve our world. And God expects us to use these gifts in our daily lives and to use the talent that God gave to you. And he expects us to use them every day, every day, every day. So let's pray this morning as we close this out. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for each and every member of Calvary Gospel Church. Lord, we're such a diversified church. We're such a talented church, a church that has so much abilities. And Lord, I want to be able to see us as we close out this year and we deal with some of these just little simple issues as we go into the next year, that we don't take these simple issues, these simple problems with us, that we take care of them before we move any further. And Lord, with communication, Lord, so much of what we do is communicating. I communicate with you, our prayer with you is simply communication with you, communication with one another. I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us this day. I pray, Lord, not just for this session, but for I pray for our next session, Lord, as Brother Peter Sandin brings forth the word of the Lord, and as we talk about God's word for life, and as we move into a whole new phase of study of your scripture here at Calvary Gospel Church. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one of us that's here. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're a few minutes early. We have until 11 o'clock. If you have children that are over in the children's wing, you can feel free to pick them up. By the time you get over there, it will be 11. God bless you. Once again, good to see all of our visitors here. God bless.